What's up, shelf addicts? Welcome back to the Shelf Addiction Podcast. Today on Book Chat, we are starting a new fantasy series, The Red Rising Saga, beginning with Book One, Red Rising, written by Pierce Brown. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, I am your host, Tamara, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, we're going to feed your shelf addiction with fun book conversations, bookish topics, and more. It's like listening in on your favorite book club. Participate in this discussion by joining the Facebook group, Shelf Addiction Official, or over on the Book Club app. I hope to hear your thoughts on today's show. You can also find me and Casey on Twitter and Instagram. The links for everything I've mentioned are below in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please support the podcast by sharing it with some book nerd friends or on your favorite social media space. And don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe before you leave. That will really help me out, and I appreciate you for doing it. The uncut video version of this podcast is available right now over on Patreon. Join us there for exclusive videos, including after shows and more. So if you're interested in that at all, you'll need to come over onto Patreon and sign up. As always with Book Chats, we talk spoilers here, so you've been warned. Without further ado, let's begin. Welcome back to another fantasy series discussion. Joining me is my fantasy series co-host, Casey from Heart Full of Ink. Welcome back, Casey.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, we are starting something brand new.
Woohoo! I'm excited. New year, new trilogy.
Yes. I think this is going to be a fun chat. So yes. Okay, so we're going to jump into it. Today we are discussing the first book in the Red Rising saga, Red Rising, written by Pierce Brown. It was published January 28th. 2014 by Del Rey and Recorded Books. The audiobook is narrated by Tim Gerard Reynolds. The hardcover comes in at 382 pages and the unabridged audio is 16 hours and 12 minutes. Woo, that is a lot of book. That's a lot of book.
That's a big book.
Yeah, especially with the, we'll get into this later, but the narrator is super slow. That's why it's 16 hours. Oh, there's no reason for that to be 16 hours, but
he pauses
a lot
after every comma and period.
He's
and
like,
takes his time.
we'll get into doing that. And this actually is officially tagged fantasy adventure, but I think it is strong dystopia vibes.
Oh, yes.
And science fiction. So
yes.
So Casey, would you please read the synopsis for us?
The Earth is dying. Darrow is a Red, a miner in the interior of Mars. His mission is to extract enough precious elements to one day tame the surface of the planet and allow humans to live on it. The Reds are humanity's last hope. Or so it appears until the day Darrow discovers it is all a lie, that Mars has been habitable and inhabited for generations by a class of people calling themselves the Golds, a class of people who look down on Darrow and his fellows as slave labor to be exploited and worked to death without a second thought. Until the day Darrow, with the help of a mysterious group of rebels, disguises himself as a Gold and infiltrates their command school, intent on taking down his oppressors from the inside. But the command school is a battlefield, and Darrow isn't the only student with an agenda.
All right. So, when you first shut the book at the end, what did you think?
I didn't hate it.
Okay.
And I am interested to see where it goes. But I've been really crazy busy with work this week, so I didn't have time to, you know, sit down and read like I normally do. So I downloaded the audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the audiobook, or I saw it was 16 hours. I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to finish this in time. And then I, you know, bumped it up to 1.5 speed. And I was like, okay, I'm getting through this. But I was listening to the audiobook while, like, cooking dinner or washing the dishes or running around doing errands. So I feel like I missed some of the details that I have questions about,
mm-hmm.
and I will ask you about them. But reading this book, it felt like I was reading every other YA book I've ever read. And
that's
not a bad thing.
No, it's fair. And to be honest, that was one of my main points of contention the first time
mm-hmm.
through.
But for me, this was my second time through, and I got to see a lot of other things that I might not have the first time because I was so focused on what else this sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's where my brain was this time. I was like, this sounds so familiar. Mm-hmm. This sounds like, and you know, blah, 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 blah. We'll get into that. Yeah. But so I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it. But it wasn't, you know, oh my God, I need this book because it feels unique for this story. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, I like this trope. I know what's happening. I'm intrigued by it. But this feels like every other YA book I've read. So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
Okay. So for me at the end there, I was kind of like, kind of surprised, but not entirely surprised that, of course, you know, Augustus, House of Augustus approached him immediately. Okay, so kind of, but not really, only because of what happened with the jackal. So I'm like, okay, then he's going to hate his ass, but apparently he didn't. So I was like, okay, now I'm down to see what's next. Okay, I want to, what happens now that we've had some revelations? Now, for me, like I mentioned a moment ago, yeah, I did notice these same things that are in other books as well. But for me this time around, I think I was more focused on the details of things or things that I might have missed before. Like, oh, this happened here and this person lied about this and that and this. And oh, I can see where this is now setting up something else. So I feel like I have a different point of view being that this was my second time around, even though read this a really long time ago. And some of the plot twists I have forgotten. Like I have forgotten that Virginia was the jackal sister, twin sister. I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, you lied. Well, she lied on mission. Okay. But like other like little things that had happened that I had forgotten. So I had a good time with it overall. And I still think that once we got into the part of like trying to obtain the other houses, it kind of got a little lengthy in there. But the author took us through basically 2 years in this book. And that's what I have to remember.
I was going to talk about that. Like, that was an insanely long time frame for a book.
Yeah, but that is what is different from Hunger Games and other things. Hunger Games is what, a couple days? Is they all die off pretty quickly? A week?
I think it might have been like a week, 2 weeks.
This is 2 years of this man's life. At the beginning, he is 16. At the end, he is 18. And he thinks he's 18. He could be a little older. Because they ran them ragged in these war games.
But it was also the months and months and months of lead up to this. You know, he...
It took like 6 months to transform him. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was the, oh, you have to start preparing for the tests and then you take the tests and those take times. And then it was like another 2 months before you got the results. And then it was like another 2 months before you did anything. So like
they said a year of waiting was a 12 months. They said, oh, this is a year of our lives. Right. So we know that they were in the games for about a year.
Yeah. So a year leading up to it and then a year of the game.
Yeah. Which I think in this case was fair because without understanding, for example, like did you ever see that movie Gattaca with Ethan Hawke and I can't remember that other Jude Law? Jude Law, yes.
No.
And that, it was sci-fi as well. And that Ethan Hawke's character wanted to go into space and fly, you know, be in a spaceship. But they had the same thing about genetics going on. He wasn't tall enough. He wasn't, his vision wasn't good enough. He needed all of these things. So he transformed his body. Not to the extreme that Darrow did, not that extreme, but he did add a couple inches to himself, which meant breaking some bones. He started using someone else's DNA to check in every day. So he went to extreme lengths to like insert himself someplace he shouldn't have been. And so I think that was important for this book because I think it makes us understand the drive of Darrow. Like he's put a lot into this and it's like, otherwise why are you doing this shit? You know what I mean? So it's like I feel like the setup of the world is big and long, but I feel like it's needed. And they're not, trust me, he's not going to do this again in book two. We're not going to get this on the front.
Good.
Unlike some books where we get a big repeat and like, we just talked about this, but it was needed, I think, to set it up properly. I guess if those were my critiques, that would be it. You know, like some of the similarities, which we can dive into, because well, let's do that first, because I know you had some specific things that you found similar that I didn't. So I want to hear.
Well, okay. So the dystopian like setup very much reminded me of Legend and the different classes. Like, that is not strictly Legend. I'm just talking about Legend because we did that trilogy here on the podcast last year. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fairly recent in my mind, but like, that felt very similar. And I know there have been other dystopian books with class systems, and like, it's not a unique thing. It's not unique to Legend. But reading this, I was like, oh yeah, you know, I just read Legend. This feels similar.
Now that I didn't get any Legend vibes at all. I know, like you said, the class system we've seen multiple times in different series. So that did not stand out to me as like Legend. I did not.
I think it was just because like we read it so recently that it was fresher in my mind. Because the last time I read Legend was like 2010 or something. So like, if it had been that long since I read Legend and reading Red Rising, I don't think I would have made that connection. Changing Darrow. Honestly, this is going to make me sound like a basic bitch, but it reminded me of Captain America and Chris Evans.
Like, girl, no. What? Okay.
He was the wimpy little boy who, you know, in Marvel movies, he just gets one shot and changes in 5 seconds.
Yes.
So, like, there was a little bit of...
This was torture.
Yeah, this was long and torturous. And, like... I could probably compare it more to like Frankenstein, but my brain just, you know, went to Chris Evans being all tall and big shouldered and pretty with his blonde hair. And I'm just like, all right.
He wished it was that easy.
He wishes.
Yeah.
And then the whole school testing thing with the 12 houses, that reminded me of Harry Potter. Like, I was like, okay, so we're sitting down. We don't have the sorting hat, but we have the sorting tests, and we're going to ask you questions, and you have to react this way or that way. And depending on what your answers are, you're going to get sorted into these houses, or, you know, you have the test, but then you have the actual sorting thing. And they mentioned like the giant chessboard, and I was like, Harry Potter has a giant chessboard, but they didn't actually play chess. I was just, you know, making connections in my brain. And then, of course, once they were in the games, that was very much, you know, the Hunger Games, although this lasted so much longer and you had teams and you had all this other stuff going on.
I feel like this was more brutal than the Hunger
definitely.
Games.
Definitely.
By several times over.
But it was like when you first started and you got in, I was like, okay, I'm seeing the Hunger Game vibes. And then like after that point, we're over 200 pages into this book, or about 200 pages. Right. And then it finally started feeling like its own thing.
Yeah, because it definitely was, like, I feel like, yes, the start of it, it definitely had those vibes. But as we get into it and they start talking about natural selection, they start talking about all these other choices that they're playing and, you know, doing to these students in the game, it starts to take on its own thing, because these students, like, the goal isn't to be the one lone survivor.
It's not the one, it's the team, but then you have the leader.
It's everyone. They don't want everyone dead. Originally the goal was not to go in and just kill everyone, because they're all golds. They're all upper echelon of people. So outside of the first round, their intent was to win. They were supposed to learn. They were supposed to, like, learn the art of war, kind of. You know what I mean? They weren't supposed to be offing each other. You know, that's not what they wanted them to do. But this thing just transformed into a game of its own this round for a lot of reasons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It could maybe be compared to Game of Thrones, but I never read the books or watch the TV show, so I'm not gonna, I don't know.
Oh, it's not like Game of Thrones. I watched the show. It's not. Okay. But it's kind of like, because, you know, you want to be he wanted to be the person in charge of the house mm-hmm. that took over all of the other houses. That you want the top slot. Yes. You want to be in first place. Because then you get your pick of the litter of jobs mm-hmm. and internships, basically, for another lack of a better word. You mm-hmm. know, so you get... And his goal, his task, was to infiltrate, come out on the other side, and be in charge of somebody's fleet of ships, somebody's army, something where he had power mm-hmm. to help Rex.
Yes.
So that was his goal.
Yes.
And he did it. He succeeded.
He did it. He went wild, but he did it.
Okay, let's talk. I have so many points.
Go for it.
That I want to
talk. Go for it. You talk. I will respond.
There are so many. First, let's talk about the first round where they're trying to make natural selection happen. They're trying to push it along a little further.
Where they're locked in the room and have to kill each other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the point of that, they put someone weak and someone strong in a room together.
Mm-hmm.
And they just let natural what happens, right? One person is getting out.
Yes.
What would you do if you were woke up and it's a black room and it's one other person in there and they said only one of you are coming out of here?
My first thought was just knock the person out and walk out of the room. Just like hit them hard mm-hmm. once in the head and just walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they're unconscious, they're not going to fight you, but you mm-hmm. don't have to make me kill them all the way.
Mm.
So like,
so even if you knew the intent was for you to kill them, you would still just knock them out and walk out.
Yeah, unless it was an awful person who I wanted dead. Like, nobody else was in the room. You know, there was no mm-hmm. guards posted at the door. There was nobody checking. Yeah, they had the cameras in there that you found out about later. But my thought was just, you know, hit him once in the head, knock him out, and then walk out of the room.
Well, it's interesting, like, how these kids were raised and how their society works, because not one of them questioned
nobody
that.
Did that. Yeah, nobody questioned.
Nobody.
Everybody
they
just
knew.
Killed.
Mm-hmm. So you kill someone, and then, so, like, they started making friends before this started.
Mm-hmm.
And Darrow somehow got to be cool with Cassius. And he ends up killing his brother, which he has to spend the entire book virtually lying about.
He was kind of friends with Julian, though. Like, they had a very short friendship, but, like, they were friendly. They talked to each other. It was, you know, he liked him, and then he had to kill him.
He felt bad about it,
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think he wanted to. Mm-mm. I think it was just kind of, again, if I don't do this, what happens?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it makes me understand why he does a lot of the things he does, because it's like, so if you, Julian, don't do this, yes, you'll go home shamed, mm-hmm. right? Your family will talk bad to you. But mm-hmm. if I do this.
But they were talking about going home instead of just like, I have to kill you, right? Like, he kept going, oh, if you go home, your parents will still love you, but I'm just going to beat you to death. And I was like, why don't you just knock him out and walk out of the room so he can go home and be
I don't think
loved.
Julian understood. Julian didn't understand. And Darrow mm-hmm. was like, oh, my God.
No.
He doesn't get it. Like, he doesn't understand. Like, this is mm-hmm. why he.
Yeah.
So some of them were very naive in entering that. They didn't really know.
Well, their families didn't tell them. Nobody told them. They said that, mm-hmm. you know, you go in here is the best, most prestigious thing that you could ever possibly do. You know, you're going to bring honor to our family. You're going to come out of here for the best. But nobody really told them that there was, you know, an instant culling, that there was an instant death sentence for half the students who mm-hmm. got accepted. And then, you know, once you're in the yeah. game, there's a pretty high chance of you dying too. They don't want you to die.
I almost disagree with that, because there was a later point in the book when Darrow had a come to Jesus with Cassius.
Mm-hmm.
And Cassius said, we all kind of knew it wasn't good that he had to come here,
mm-hmm.
but you can't say no to the Institute.
Yes.
He knew his brother was weak.
Yes.
He knew.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm not really surprised. You know, he pretty much said, I knew that shit was going to happen, but how you did it was my problem. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that makes me wonder, maybe some of them know, some of them have been told, some of them haven't.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, no, like there was some, I think there were some whispers about it, but I don't think anybody like really, really knew. I don't know.
Well, we know the proctors weren't telling them shit, right? Yeah, so no. It would have been on their family and friends or somebody mm-hmm. who knows them to tell them what's up.
Yes.
So that was wild. I thought that was completely, what a wild way to start. Put mm-hmm. you in a room and you kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And then you come out and it's like, okay, now you're on teams. We're yep. changing the game. And some people like Titus took that to a whole nother level. So Titus, let's talk about Titus. So you guys, Titus is like killing and raping.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone berserk
yep.
in House Mars. And within House Mars, they have divided. Darrow and Cassius and team and Titus and his crazy people.
And then there was, what's her name?
Antonia was in Antonia. That house, but she yeah. was kind of on Cassius and Darrow's side for a while.
She but kind I of felt had like, her own team, too. And that, like, she kept kind of shifting around. She had her own people.
Yeah.
She was kind of with Darrow and Cassius. Then she was kind of with Titus. Then she was...
She was playing both sides because mm-hmm. Antonia's a whole nother character. Like,
oh, yeah.
Darrow knew he couldn't trust her from day one. And she's admitted, yeah, I would have... taking you out if I had another chance and it worked for me, yep, you know? So absolutely. He knew that she couldn't be trusted, but she was never on anyone's team, really?
Her own team. She wanted to be in charge. She wanted to be a leader. She wanted to be a primus. She wanted power.
When Titus was doing this stuff, and then afterwards, like, let's get to the end. Titus is taken down, mm-hmm. and somehow Darrow has... planted the seed in Cassius's mind that Titus is the one that killed Julian. So Julian's like, so Cassius is like, he's mine.
Darrow didn't really plan that. Cassius kind of made the assumption, and Darrow just went, mm-hmm. And like, didn't.
Yeah, it was that's kind what of I'm like, saying.
He let him go to his own ideas, but didn't dissuade them. He was like, yeah, no. Julian would have been paired with somebody strong. This is a strong person.
That's what I feel like he was doing on purpose. So like he's
I didn't
like,
think
how much Darrow do I say?
Was doing it on purpose. I think it was more like, I don't want to admit what I did. I like you as a friend. I'm just gonna let you think whatever you want to think and not say anything and just like let it be. Like not.
No. I think he did on purpose because he knew they were going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
They knew. He knew we're going to kill Titus. We can't let this ride. We can't let him live after what he's done. And why not easy out? Let's just blame Titus. And then I'm free. I'm free of it because he would have thought he would have killed. He did it. In my opinion, he did it on purpose. He was trying to be. And if I should have saved the passage because he says, like, how much do I say? How can I say this mm-hmm. without saying this?
Yeah. Oh, you yeah. Know? No, I think initially, you know, he felt guilty, but he wanted the friendship and he didn't want, you know, to have to fight Cassius like day one right after he killed Julian. I think he just felt so guilty about Julian that I didn't really feel a malicious vibe when he wanted to kill Titus. I think it was like, okay, this just happens to fit together and makes it work. And we'll hopefully get, you know, Cassius off my tail about Julian. I don't know. It didn't feel too malicious when I read it or whatever.
I think that the killing of Titus was not malicious. I feel like that's what they all thought they had to do because of what Titus was doing.
Oh yeah, no, he definitely needed to die.
I think that he purposefully shifted Cassius's brain just a tilt
mm-hmm.
toward that direction. He let it go. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's not like, let me evil plot. But he saw the opportunity and he took it.
Yes,
is what I'm saying.
Yes.
So when after they kill Titus and he says to him, something. Wait, well, they didn't kill him. They almost killed him. And Titus says something at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, was he a Red? Was Titus a Red?
Yeah, he said bloody damn or something.
He said bloody damn. And that comes up again. Bloody damn. Because they do not speak like that as gold.
The Reds do.
Verbiage.
Yes.
And that's something that was brought up immensely in the beginning. Stop saying that. Mm-hmm. Don't use this. Use this. Don't that, that, that. And so when he said that, he instantly thought, what if Titus was a Red?
Another plant like me.
And I got him killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's like, oh my God. What if I had known that before? Would that have changed anything? Who did something to him? What mm-hmm. did they do to his family?
Was it Ares, the, you know, team behind Darrow and all of his changes? Was it somebody else?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what did the Golds do to his family if he was a Red? So, like, all those things were, like, unverified. They were just thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But let's, for argument's sake, say that Titus was a Red.
Mm-hmm.
Did that change your opinion on the things that he did?
Oh, absolutely not. He still needed to die. Like, if you're a rapist, you need to die. End of sentence.
Because I'm like, if he was a Red, he was entirely short-sighted.
Mm-hmm.
He was thinking how Darrow thought at the beginning. Mm-hmm. At the very beginning, he was like, revenge.
Revenge, revenge, revenge. Kill, hurt all the Golds you possibly can. Don't think long term.
But he got past that very quickly. He's like, that's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Even, what's his face? The guy who helped him. He was like, that's not going to do anything.
Dancer and Mateo and Mickey.
They're like, what did EO want you to for? Mm-hmm. You know, not that. So he got over that pretty quickly. But clearly, no one was there to help Titus with that if he was a Red, which we don't know. It was not verified, but it was kind of just plopped out there, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad to hear that because I'm like, I felt like he fucked up.
He fucked
Titus
up.
Titus
was not a good person. I don't care if he was a Red. When you act that way, when you do that shit, when you hurt your people, when you hurt women like that, like, no, you get your dick cut off, you get killed.
But just for, let's just put it out there. They said, if you rape other colors lower than you, it is not a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So what if Golds came in or other colors came in and did that to the females in his family?
Oh, they all deserve to die.
He's getting revenge.
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't get revenge by raping other women. You get revenge by killing the men who did the raping.
Two wrongs don't equal a right. But my point is that in this book, in this context, I think Darrow would have handled him differently had he known that before. Not that he was right to do it. But he would have handled the situation completely different with Titus had he known.
Had he known, like, earlier on, I think they would have formed a friendship or a bond and everything would have been different. I don't think they would have been as divided in House of Mars. I think they would have been, I don't think it would have gone all the way to Olympus the way this turned out, but I think it would have been very, very different.
I agree. I'm like, that's kind of unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. But no, like, Titus did deserve to get vengeance, but not by raping other women who had nothing to do with what he went through.
Right. Which surprised me that Darrow and team allowed that to go on for so long.
Right? I was livid. Oh my God. There's so many things that just pissed me off.
So it took Mustang. So his idea was, let's sick Mustang and her people on him.
Mm-hmm.
She will get rid of them and we'll take her place while she's out doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh yeah, leave it to the woman to go clean up your mess.
Mm-hmm.
And
which she does,
which she does, and because she had, you know, good old Pax with her, mm-hmm. Pax the
crazy man
backer. But it's like I had a hard time with how, like, their relationship developed when she saw kind of what Darrow was made of.
Mm-hmm.
Like he let that shit happen. He let it happen.
Let it happen. He listened to the screams for how many weeks before he went and did something? Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
even Cassius was like, we can't, he's doing this to Gold. So we can't allow this. And, you know, Cassius like, this is school. What mm-hmm. is this? What is this? You know, they're all reacting and doing nothing. They're all like verbally reacting and having cows, but nobody is going to take care of anything.
Yeah.
Until you just couldn't avoid it anymore, which I find all of them at fault. Uh-huh. Every last one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
And these kids are all bad. All of them. Even among the bad, they're, you know, even among the quote unquote good ones, mm-hmm. they're still bad because mm-hmm. they let the shit happen. Uh-huh. They let all kind of bad stuff happen to each other,
yep.
even outside of Titus. So like,
yep.
Okay, let's take a break, y'all. Let's take a break. I'm going on a rampage and I haven't even got to the meat of the story yet because I just feel like I could, there's so much to talk mm-hmm. about and break down. I can go on and on, but
I'm here for
to get
it.
My life together and not do this to you. So let's take a quick break. Check out these commercials. By the way, if you join Patreon, you'll get us one step closer to having no commercials.
Yes, do it. Join yes. us. No commercials. Yes.
I know, but until then, here are the commercials. Please listen to those by listening to those you are supporting the podcast, and we will be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Shelf Addiction merch store. Check out all the bookish t-shirts, notebooks, mugs, and more. Don't miss out on these original designs, perfect for any book nerd. Support the podcast and visit shelfaddiction.com/merch and pick up your next favorite bookish item.
All right, welcome back.
Do you still want a rampage? Because I'm here for it.
Okay. So I mentioned good people. Do you have a list of quote unquote people that you consider on the good list for this book?
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Was it Savo? Savro? Savro?
Yeah, Savro.
He was the only one I liked.
Okay. So to me, the good people were Rogue, Pax, Mustang, Savro. Those were on the good team,
uh-huh.
in my opinion.
Yep.
And on the bad team, Cassius, the Proctors, Antonia, Titus, the Jackal.
Yep. Where's Darrow?
Darrow rides the line.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be good, but he will do anything to meet his purpose.
Yep.
Even if it's bad.
Yep.
So I think he rides the line. And I think Mustang pushes him to be good. Mustang makes him want to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't if he has to.
Yeah.
Because winning is more important than anything else to Darrow.
Yes. Yes.
That's my take on it.
That's a good take. And that's very, very true. Because, yeah, he lets a lot of bad shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you going to do? Are you going to stop it? Are you going to help anybody? No.
No. But see, that's kind of also something that I enjoy about this book, because there's no absolute good and absolute bad. Like, even the people doing bad things,
mm-hmm.
I'm not excusing them, but they have reasons why they do them. They're just not crazy bad, just doing shit with no rhyme or reason.
Mm-hmm.
So bad is bad, but you're not nuts.
There was one guy. Was it Vixus? He seemed bad for bad's sake. He was Titus's right hand. He was going around doing bad shit. We didn't get any backstory for him. So I'm just assuming he was bad shit crazy to be bad shit crazy.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. And actually, the House of Mars, all those people were chosen because of their bad tempers, quick tempers.
Mm-hmm.
That house is notorious for burning out quickly because they go on a rampage
yep.
and they burn out.
Yep. But not this
Which
year.
Everyone knows, but not this year, because everyone knows it. And Darrow's like, that's not going to be me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
He kind of does at first. And then, you know, he keeps getting bit in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. So I like the cast. I like that, you know, we had good and bad and in between. I liked how the relationships built.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really did feel bad when Cassius found out what Darrow did.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, he really did like him as a brother. Mm-hmm. Like, he really did. Although I never really considered Cassius a good person, I always thought something was quite a little off with Cassius. I did not consider him in the good pile.
No.
But he had a legit friendship with him, and he felt like he was stabbed in the back.
Yeah. And that's fair. Like, that is a deep betrayal. That was awful. That was, you know, Cassius's emotions were valid, but taking him out into the middle of nowhere and stabbing him and leaving him to die, and then, you know, dealing with that guilt and thinking he's dead, but then he comes back to life, and now you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to kill you again. Like, Cassius, honey, you need therapy.
What did they say? We have a blood,
not a blood vow, but like a blood feud.
No, like a, yeah, blood feud. Like, if I ever am in the same room with you, one of us is not walking out
yeah,
of it.
I'm going to kill you, or you're going to kill me, or yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's going to be a fight to the death. And then the irony that he joins the house that was in complete, like,
opposition.
Against,
yes, they have a long opposition. Feud. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So future fights are coming between them.
Mm-hmm. We know that's going to come back up again.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, yeah. But that fight was wild. I'm like, he just assumed. And I'm like, okay, people, if you're killing people, don't you want to make sure they're dead before you walk away?
That would be the smart thing to do. But no.
He just left him and assumed he'd die.
I mean, if I stab somebody in the gut and, like, leave them out in the snow, they're very likely going to die. But, yeah, you know, he's the main character of a story, so he's not going to die.
No, but there's students walking around all out there. Mm-hmm. There's houses all over the place. You don't know where everyone is, as they kept telling us throughout the whole book.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even know the location of all the houses or where everyone was early on. You know, they were discovering that. So you just leave a body and just assume no one's going to find him?
Yeah, no, it would have been smarter to just chop off his head and, like, then leave the body for somebody to find.
Or stab him, like, give him a fatal wound and wait till he bleeds out. Then walk away. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That was kind of dumb on his part. He was
definitely dumb. That's not how you murder people.
Look, if you're going to do it, do it. But in this case, we needed him to live.
Yes.
What do you think about Mustang and Darrow?
So I never trusted her. And then she said the cheater be cheated, and then somebody else said it, like, fairly quickly afterward. I was like, oh, we're going to have this big plot twist coming up. I didn't think twin, but I figured she was related to the Jackal somehow. I was like, maybe, like, a cousin, possibly sibling, because they did have that mention of, like, oh, all of the governor's children have been, you know, sequestered away, so nobody knows what they look like. But I was like, maybe a cousin or a sibling, or maybe she's, like, engaged to him because, you know, this is the royalty, whatever, of this world. So maybe somebody, you know, there's a connection there somehow. But then, you know, they're identical twins.
Yes. Okay, so I like Mustang. I think that she is a complex type of girl.
Yes.
She's not easy to read, and I don't hate it. So I feel like she owed Darrow, and she told him, like, when he pretty much confronted her about not trusting her, she's like, look, I am here because would I be laying here in this snow with you if I didn't think this plan would work? And then later she kind of reemphasizes, like, look, when I was hiding out in the mud, you saw me and didn't rat on me. So, and then I helped you.
Yes.
So this is why we have the relationship we have.
Yes.
So I do believe her, but I know she has her secrets and she's just not going to hand them up to him.
And
he's got to figure it out.
Somebody in this world, I would never tell anybody my secrets. Like, no, I would need to know you for years and, like, build that trust and maybe then tell you. But at the same time, I feel like in this kind of political realm, people will backstab you 10 years down the road to get whatever they want.
Definitely.
So I absolutely do not blame her for hiding that, for not telling him. I don't know. I like how mysterious she is, but I don't know.
I like her. I like her character. I feel like she really does remind Darrow of Io.
Yes.
Like a lot of things about her, he finds similar, yes, which may not be a good thing. You can just happen to like someone that's very similar to your dead wife, mm-hmm, but okay.
I will say I am very, very upset about what happened to Io. Not just, mm-hmm, the fact that she died, but the fact that she died to give him his plot line. I hate that trope with a burning passion of a thousand suns. And it is in so many goddamn movies and books and comic books and superhero origin stories. And mm-hmm, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much. I
really see that doesn't bother me too much because, well, tell me what you hate about it. Why do you hate that as a device plot?
Like, because, you know, the tool. Woman is not seen as human. She's seen as this idea and this idol. And like he kept thinking about her like, oh, she would want this from me. Or, oh, you know, how would she feel about this or that? Or what would she do? Or she wouldn't understand whatever. And she lost her humanity. She lost her self, her being. She just became, you know, Persephone to the world. She became this idea to him. And, you know, he was kind of wild and crazy as a slave or slave person down in the mines digging and doing all that stuff. But like, he was fine. He didn't want to fight for the world. And she's like, I'm going to die. So now you have to go fight for the world and you have to live my dream because I'm dead. I'm just an idea. I'm not a human who, you know, is doing anything. I'm just an idea. And that, again, has happened in so many stories and so many origin things. And I'm just like, I hate it. Why can't women be? Why do we have to die in order to further a man's story?
You know, it was actually, I think Darrow actually said to them, like, this is what Io wanted. Why didn't you save her?
Yeah.
Why didn't you?
And I was sitting there with him going, why didn't you save her? You should have saved her instead of him.
Mm-hmm. And she was a part of the resistance. Mm-hmm. It's like you could tell that scene right before they got caught out in the garden. She was trying to enlighten him.
Oh, definitely. She was nudging him.
Give him some food
for
thought.
She was trying to push him along.
Mm-hmm.
But then she dies instantly, so we don't get to see anything else about her other than his idolized, oh, Io was this perfect woman.
Yeah, and they weren't married for long. Mm-mm. If we go back, they were 16. They weren't married for long.
Just a few months, I think, because he can only get married at 16. So, oh, and she was definitely pregnant when she died, which just pisses me off even more. They didn't say it, but her, like, right before she died, her sister had to come, like, hear her last words. And then her sister starts sobbing even more and looking at him. And he's like, well, what were her last words? And she's like, I can't tell you.
She never said.
And then his mother, like, finds out. And she's like, I can't tell you either. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, she was pregnant with your baby.
I did not get that from that.
That's the vibe I got. It was never confirmed. Nobody ever said anything. But, you know, the women are talking. And now we're crying even harder.
She knew what she was doing, though. She was not.
She chose to be a martyr right then. Like, she was doing her own act of rebellion. And, like, I can respect that.
So that is what I don't understand. Because if you're going to make that choice, fine. But why would you leave that? Why would you put the weight of that quote unquote secret on your family?
I don't know.
Why would you do that
either?
To them?
Like, yeah.
Why? Like, they, you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm like, I don't, maybe she said something.
Maybe
else.
She did. Maybe she said, the son of Ares are coming for Darrow later. Like, help
because
him.
Because if anything, I'd be pissed off at my sister. not Darrow, you chose this shit, and then you're gonna tell me you're pregnant, mm-hmm. so you killed yourself and your mm-hmm. child. I'd be pissed at her. I wouldn't be looking at
him. Well, no, it wasn't the sister wasn't pissed at Darrow. It was like that, oh, I'm crying so much harder now, and I'm looking at you, and I'm heartbroken. It was like she was really sad walking up, but then as soon as, you know, Eo like she feels says,
bad for yeah. him or pity or whatever.
Yeah. It was like pity and extra hard tears. And then somebody else had to like literally carry her off the stage before Eo was hanged. Like it was just mm-hmm. a whole dramatic scene. And I was like, she's pregnant, isn't she?
I would have felt like, I hope that wasn't the case, because I
don't think we'll ever find out or ever know. Yeah. That's just kind of the vibe I got.
Okay. So. All right, that's fair. I didn't get that, but I think that's fair. You know, it's not a completely out of, you know, left field assumption based on what was going
on.
They
were having sex all the time. They were 16.
As teenagers would. Yep.
There was a quote somewhere in the book where it said, like, Reds live hard and fast and die young. You know, like, they die by the time they're 30 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So really, when they're 15, 16, like that's the halfway point of their life. They're not mm-hmm. teenagers. They're married and making babies and adults, and they're going to live right. maybe 10 more, 15 more years. Like right. they're in their prime.
Because they're down there yeah. in the misery, yes. slaving yes. away.
So like, no, they never felt like teenagers. They never felt.
Mm-mm. And then when he comes above ground and he sees gold mm-hmm. on these things, and they're shooting around laughing and joking, and people are like, he's like, what the WTF is mm-hmm. going on up here? Like, you know,
everything is confused. A lie. Everything yeah. is a lie.
The big lie. Mm-hmm. And he's like, she said we were slaves. Yep. She was right.
If only she was here to see it, not dead. But
there's a lot more to talk about, but I think we're just gonna just rate mm-hmm. it, because I feel like this is what book club is for. Come to book club, because I feel like I have more to talk mm-hmm. about, and I know the other people that read it also will want to express their feelings on certain things that happens in yes. this book. There's a lot going on, and we can only cover so much of it here in a reasonable amount yes. of time.
You can also join our Discord, where we can talk about it in length with lots of paragraphs.
Yes. But you have to be in one of the groups to get the Discord yes. link. It's not in the show notes. Ooh. So you have to come to Shelf Addiction Official, or you need to join on book clubs to just, be. We got verified. We don't want crazies in there. We got to know you're yes. us. You're us to yes. be in there. So join us, and then come on in and share your thoughts, because we had a good time on Discord. We start sharing a little bit of artwork, yes. you know, fan art of what we think Darrow may look like before and after, you know, some of the other people in the book. So it's a good time. So let's go ahead and rate Red Rising.
You want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
I'll let you go first.
It's 3 stars for me. It wasn't bad. It wasn't captivating enough. Like, I might give it 3.5 stars, but we're not doing half stars. So 3 stars, like a solid 3 stars. It was a good start. I did enjoy it. I had questions. I had things I hated, but like, you know, that's me with every book ever. So solid 3 stars. I am hopeful and excited about book 2. And if we can lose a lot of the craziness and drawn out timelines of book 1, then we'll be good. Yes.
Okay, I'll leave that there. I rated it 4 stars, and I will stand by that. I still really enjoyed it. Yes, I saw some similarities, but guess what? All of those books are similar to each other in that time frame. So it's like I mentioned earlier, this time around, I think I was looking for different things. And even on the front of the book, did you notice the thing on the front of the book? Enter Katniss and now Darrow. It actually says that on the front of the book. So there is no faking
it. Yeah,
no,
everybody sees. Everybody sees that it's all the same.
So, but this has got its own twist on it. I like that it's darker. I like that it's just different to me than things we have already read. It feels older. It's darker. I like some of the Art of War stuff. I like thinking about things in a strategic mm-hmm. way versus an emotional mm-hmm. way. I like just the change in pace. You know what I mean? So I am down for this ride. I think it's going to be fun. I know we'll have a good time in book club talking about
definitely.
It. And this is going to be one of those books that brings strong emotion, mm-hmm. I think, from people who read
it. For sure.
Yeah. Strong four, solid four. And I know it's going to get better.
Is book two also 2 years long?
You know what? They, like I said, they do age up quite a bit throughout. And then after the third book, that is like the end of this story mm-hmm. arc, and before the fourth book, there is a significant time mm-hmm. jump. So this author is about making them older. This is not teenage games. This is not teenage angst. And like, even when Darrow does think about EO or think about what could be, and none of it is angsty in a teenage way. None of it, because this is adult mm-hmm. shit. Mm-hmm. And that is what I like about it. No high school bullshit. No, this is kind of like me bullshit. No.
There was a little bit of that with the other people. And there was a line from Darrow when he was like, wow, I forgot people got crushes. That's
so
weird.
He's like, I forgot about that. I know. Like, look at them. Because you know the Reds. The Reds live in a different world than mm-hmm. the Golds. The Golds had a more regular high school experience until the Institute.
Yes, until the Institute.
Yeah. And then it's like, surprise. We're going to torture, maim, and kill you. Fun times. Okay, so I think we're done. What do you think, Casey?
I think we're done.
All
until
right.
next time.
Until next time. Let us know what you thought of today's episode. If you've read Red Rising, definitely give us some notes. Let us know what you thought. Join us for the book club, as we've mentioned. And until then, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next month. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
If you enjoyed today's episode and would like to show your support, there are a few things you can do. Head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a positive 5-star review, or like this episode on your favorite podcast player. It seems so simple, but it really helps me out. You can share this podcast with other book nerd friends or on your favorite social media space. You can also join the Shelf Addiction Patreon family. For as little as $2 a month, you will help us produce even more awesome content for your ears. You can also consider joining the Shelf Addiction Official Facebook group, where we talk all things bookish and more in a safe space. The Shelf Addiction Podcast is a part of the Nerdy Maven Network. You can also reach us via email at info@shelfaddiction.com. Thank you for listening.